Well, good evening. It's good to see everybody. If you're not familiar with the gathering, this is your first time. My name's Andy, one of the pastors here on staff. If you've got your Bibles, we're going to be in Galatians chapter 5 tonight. So go ahead and turn there. Galatians chapter 5. Here's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about one of the things that I hear most regularly, both in like direct conversation, but I also hear it in indirect conversation. When I've talked with young adults over the last several years about this topic of dating, because we're in a dating series, if you're not aware, it's called It's Complicated. But here's why it's complicated. Because we complicate it. We just do. We add things, think things, respond in certain ways that just makes it more and more complicated than it actually needs to be. And so what we're going to do in this series is we're going to open God's Word and we're going to do our best to uncomplicate this topic of dating and relationships. Because I'll tell you, in all honesty, what complicates it is when we bring our limited perspective, when we bring our fears, and when we bring our insecurities to this topic of dating. And then we see dating through the lens of our insecurities, our fears, the unknown, and everything that I can figure out. And then when we can't figure things out, or things aren't happening at the pace to where we would hope they would happen at, then all of a sudden, fear grips us and drives us and leads us. And so instead of doing that, because you guys could probably Google, like, what are the top 10 ways? Like, you could do that stuff. Here's what I want to do. I want to open God's Word and look at it through a different lens. I want to look at the principles of God's Word and apply them to this topic of dating. Because the Bible doesn't talk about dating, but it does talk about principles of God's ways, the kingdom of God. And so what you're going to see in Galatians chapter 5 is, if you're not familiar, Galatians is just a letter that the Apostle Paul is writing to a church in Galatia, thus called the Galatians. And so he's writing to them to defend the gospel of grace, because something's happened in Galatia where they're starting to move back to legalism. And Paul's writing to defend, no, the gospel of Jesus is about grace, not perfection, not earning, not legalism. And he gets into this idea of, we've been set free from that legalism. Like, we just got done with that whole series, Set Free. So he's talking about that concept. So here's the conversation that I have with young adults a lot that I hear often. It's called having the list of who I should date. The list of who I should be dating. The list of the person that should be by my side. Now, can we just be honest real quick as we get started this morning? Not this morning, this evening. How many of you consciously, written down, or even subconsciously have a list in your heart and in your mind? Anybody? Who's gonna be honest tonight? Guys, raise your hands. Like, get them up there. There we go. Like, you're all like, maybe, kind of. All right, now let's see if we can, how many of you know someone that when you talk to them or you see how they've dated in the past, you know for a fact they have a list? No one? Some people? Half you? There we go, thank you. Guys, we have lists. We come up with these lists of, like, who is worthy of me? And who do I see myself with? What can they bring to my life? What can they add? And so here's what I've kind of come to know over the years, is that everybody comes up with this list of characteristics, hobbies, belief systems, and we just come up with them. And not one person I've talked to has come up with them the exact same way. Maybe it's how your parents raised you, or just from experience of what you don't like and what you don't want. Or maybe it's the culture has taught us, well, you need to look for these things and ignore these things. And so we come to this place where we're all really confused and tangled up in, who should I be pursuing? Who should I be praying for? So here's my hope tonight. Is that by the end of this evening, you will not just have a different perspective, but we will collectively, as a young adult ministry, be closer to being on the same page of what we're all looking for. so that we can encourage it in one another. We can be clear with ourselves, because we're not only going to just look out there, we're going to look in here. Because dating is, yes, an evaluative process. Like the way that the dating culture in our world is you are evaluating someone else. But we talked about that last week, that perspective of a commodity versus a person to care and love and serve and honor, those are two different worlds. And so we're not dating a commodity to be customized. We're dating a person created in the image of God who he loves and gave his son to redeem. And so we're going to continue this theme of looking at a different perspective and a principled perspective, not a preference-led perspective. Because most of our lists are preference-based. They're just preferences. They're nice to haves or be fun to haves. But a lot of the things that we make major decisions on are preferences, not principles. Okay, so let's get into this. We're gonna look at, like I said, Ephesians chapter 5. What I wanna do tonight is I wanna give you four questions to help you process through making that list in your head and in your heart and in your mind. Like what are the questions we can ask ourselves? What are the questions we can ask our friends and our circle of trusted advisors? What are the questions that we can ask to help populate that list, okay? So, we're gonna read starting in verse 16, and we're gonna go for a little while through verse 26. Here we go. Paul writes this, "I say then, walk by the Spirit, and you will certainly not carry out the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is against the Spirit, and the Spirit desires what is against the flesh. These are opposed to each other, so that you don't do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law." Verse 19. "Now, the works of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, moral impurity, promiscuity, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambitions, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and anything similar. I am warning you about these things, as I warned you before." He's done it more than once. "That those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The law is not against such things. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another." So that's a lot. But here's what I wanted to point out as we get going into these four questions. Just like last week, and you're gonna hear this every week of this series, is we're gonna look at this through the filter of two kingdoms. And Paul talks about it, who will not inherit the kingdom of God. And so once again, we see in scripture that there are two kingdoms that we can live in, the kingdom of this world or the kingdom of self or the kingdom of God. And what you see in this passage is these two things compared back and forth, back and forth. All right, so here we go. The first question is, who are they walking with? Because he starts out in verse 16, "I say then, walk by the Spirit, and you will certainly not carry out the desires of the flesh. For the flesh, the kingdom of this world, the kingdom of self, desires what is against the kingdom of the Spirit. And the Spirit desires what is against the flesh. These are opposed to each other." You see, what Paul is saying is the ways of the world and the ways of the kingdom of God and the Spirit of God are opposed to one another. So if we're gonna go into this topic of dating and evaluation, we have to ask the question, who are they walking with? And then the second question is, who am I walking with? It can't just be an external evaluation. Every single one of these questions is an internal one as well. Like this is that idea of who are you walking by? He says, walk by the Spirit, meaning being led by the Spirit of God. Like if you grew up in church, you probably heard the verse, pray without ceasing. And I remember reading that verse and thinking, that's impossible. Ceasing seems like never ending, like you're constantly doing this. But when you start reading the scriptures through the lens of what Paul is saying here is that are you walking with the Spirit? Then all of a sudden, prayer becomes a constant thing in every situation, in every day, in every place that we go, every conversation that we have. We are asking, Holy Spirit, would you lead me that I might follow you in this situation? On this date, as I respond to this person, as I stick my neck out to ask her out, Holy Spirit, would you lead me? Who are we walking with? Who are we being led by? And I think because this topic of dating is a sensitive one, there's a lot of hurt, there's a lot of fear, there's a lot of baggage that can come with it. A lot of times what we end up doing is we are led and we are walking with our fear and we are walking with our scarcity mindset that, oh no, what if I'm the one left out? Instead of being led and walking with the Holy Spirit. Guys, I don't know about you, but if you haven't read John 13, 14, 15, and 16, I grew up in a church that did not talk about Holy Spirit. We talked about the Father and the Son all day long. Holy Spirit, We'll just add him, but he's over here. But here's what Jesus says about the Holy Spirit. He is present with you always. That as a Christian, as someone committed to Jesus, living for the kingdom of God, the Holy Spirit of God goes wherever you go. Can you imagine driving around and Jesus is sitting in the passenger seat and never talking to him? But that's how we treat the Holy Spirit. That's how I treat the Holy Spirit. I just kind of forget that he's there. And I start listening and I start walking according to my fears, according to my anxieties, according to my greatest insecurities. That's what's chirping in my ear all day long. And therefore, then I start walking that out. And so the first question that we have to ask as we go into the dating world is who are they walking with? Are they walking with the Spirit of God or the spirit of themselves? Who are they walking with? Who is leading them and influencing them? Here's one quick way to kind of evaluate yourself, but also maybe someone you're interested in to see who are they walking with, is watch how you or watch how they deal with disappointment and when things don't go their way. How do they respond? Is it fear, anxiety, anger? Like, what is it? Or is it peace and calm that, you know what, God's got this? Because the Holy Spirit's with me and he loves me and he cares for me. He is my guide. I'll walk with him even through this disappointment and through this discouragement. All right, second question comes from verse 19. It says, now the works of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, moral impurity, promiscuity, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambitions, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, and carousing. Now I promise you that I've never met anyone that on their list of who they should date, do you ever see these things? Like no one makes a list and says like, I would like to date someone who is sexually immoral, who is promiscuous, who is an idol worshiper, who's into sorcery and witchcraft. Like that's not on there. But here's the thing. The way that we function in our world, we do have a lot of idols in our life. We do. We were made to worship and so we find things to worship. So maybe it's not, we don't call it idolatry, but then the question is what do I worship? What do I give my money, my time, and my emotions to? What are the rhythms of my life that I repeat over and over and over and over? That's where the idol is. Envy. That's that jealousy and resentment of somebody because they have something that you want. Are they envious? Are they constantly comparing? Are you constantly comparing? And so again, this is the list of the fruit of this world, the fruit of this culture. Is this stuff. And guys, you just open your phone, start scrolling. You will see this over and over and over. And the crazy thing is it is celebrated in our culture. This kind of stuff, this is the party life. This is what money and fame and whatever, that's where it leads, is this list right here. But he gives a second list. In verse 22, he says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The law is not against such things. So the second question to ask is, where have they planted themselves? Because all of these things, all these two lists that Paul just gives us, those are the fruit of decisions and commitments and lifestyles that we have made. About a month or so ago, I spoke right on the stage about Psalm chapter 1, where David is saying, plant yourself next to streams of living water and you will bear fruit in every season. Here's the truth, young adults, is that you right now, this is the most important season of your life. Because when you're my age, you will eat the fruit of where you plant yourself now. And so the question when it comes to dating is like, well, where is this person planting themselves? Where are they drawing nutrients from for their soul? And what then is the product of that? Like he uses two words, Paul. He says, now the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. Meaning this is what is produced by the flesh. Chasing after desire, following fear, chasing after pleasure. All these things that Paul's talking about, those are, they will bear fruit. And if you weren't here a couple weeks ago, when I talked on Psalm chapter 1, I posed this question. If you go by a tree that is growing fruit, like an orange tree or an apple tree or whatever tree, who is the fruit for? The fruit is not for the tree itself. The fruit is for those that come by and walk past the tree. And so as a young adult, as an older adult, like we have to ask ourselves, is what I'm planting myself in bearing fruit that will be good for those that God brings around me? Does this make sense? This is a different way of looking at the list. The list is not about what can they add to my life. The list becomes, who are they walking with? And where have they planted themselves? And then from that, then you'll see the fruit of their life. Because let's be honest, you can be rich and buy a lot of characteristics. You can. Characteristics come and go. If we're only dating by physical appearance, guess what? They're gonna get old too, and so are you. And you're not gonna look this way. Your skin's gonna get wrinkly. You're gonna get, it's not good, guys. I'm wearing glasses. I didn't wear glasses 10 years ago. I'm that guy that's like this now. Like your body, your physical body, like we elevate this to the top of the list. They have to look a certain way. Here's the truth. That's how high school, middle school kids think. That's an immature way to think about your brothers and sisters in Christ. If that's the ultimate thing, then you're literally purchasing an item that will eventually disappoint you because they will get older and so will you. And then insecurity, if they know, well, they're only dating me because I'm beautiful or good looking, then when that starts to go away, then all of a sudden the foundation of your relationship starts to disintegrate. So these questions and these ideas, these principles that Paul's giving us, these are character issues. This is the fruit of where you've planted your life. What are you watching? What are you letting into your life? Who are you around? What entertainment are you soaking in day after day after day? Because it will produce fruit. So this question of where you're planted is really a question about what is the fruit of your life? Say about who you are and where you have spent your time. Let's continue with the next question. It comes from verse 24. Right after the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. I mean, that's the list, right? There's your list. If you want a biblical list, that's the list. Are they peaceful? Are they joyful? Are they kind? Are they gentle? Are they self-controlled? Emotionally, physically, I could go on forever on that one. All right, verse 24. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. There's that walking metaphor again. Let's keep in step with the Spirit. So the next question is, to whom do they belong? The other side of that question is, to whom do you belong? If we're gonna step into a dating relationship and be in an evaluative mode, we have to start with ourselves, don't we? Paul uses these words on purpose. Now, those who belong to Christ. This is an identity and an authority issue. When we think about who you belong to, who you are, I belong to my parents. They are the authority in my life, right? You are the same. And so when it comes to whom do you belong to, who do they belong to, who's the Lord of their life? Who has decision-making power other than them? Because guys, here's the crazy concept is, when you get married, and I would imagine most of you probably want to get married someday, is that when you get married, you are giving yourself to someone else. You're handing over your life to someone else. And so if the person that you're dating does not belong to Christ and they only belong to themselves, what do you think is gonna change when you get married? They can't give their life to a good, omniscient, sufficient, and sovereign God who loves them, who has forgiven them and give them grace, and they have rejected that authority. And so why would we ever date someone that has a different authority? This idea of who you belong to, because at the end of the day, when you marry someone who belongs to Christ, the first thing you know is that they have given up autonomy to someone else already. And that someone else isn't you. It's God is the authority in their life. And there is a wonderful, wonderful security in knowing that the person you're dating and the person that you are marrying, that they are not the ultimate authority in their life, meaning their emotions aren't their authority. Their sex drive isn't their authority. Their insecurities are not their authority. Their woundedness is not their authority. It is Jesus Christ that is their authority. And it is way better and easier and safer to trust someone who has already submitted to the authority of God. That now you can say, I can trust you with my life, and vice versa. So the question is simply, to whom do they belong? Because how can you belong to anyone if they haven't already given themselves to God? They're still the God of their own life. And in marriage, what's gonna happen, I promise you, is you are gonna get in the way of their little kingdom. You are gonna annoy their little kingdom. And if they haven't handed over the authority of their kingdom to God and practiced giving up of themselves and not being their own authority, oh man, it's gonna be rough. Because then all you have is two people getting married who are still king and queen of their own kingdom, and it's gonna be a clash for authority. The identity piece is huge here too. To whom do you belong? Who are you? As a Christian, you are living in God's kingdom as an adopted child of God, a citizen of heaven, and an ambassador of Christ. That's who you are. So when you get married, when you are dating, you are dating someone who is an adopted child of God. You don't think when my kids start dating, I'm gonna get real interested in who they're with and how they treat my daughter and my son? I'm gonna get real interested. And I believe God is extremely interested in who is dating his kid. And so this is an identity thing too, not just an authority thing. To whom do you belong? Who is it that's calling the shots in your life? And who is it that's making the decisions in their life? If it's just them, if it's just their emotions, if it's just their desires, run away. Run away. But if you can watch them and see them, that they are willing to give up themselves for others, that they act and bear fruit of a child of God, then man, hold them close. This is the list. This is the list. Not how tall they are, not how much they make, not their aesthetic. This is the list. The last question that we're gonna get to tonight comes from the very last verse that we read, verse 26. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, and envying one another. So the last question is, who are they becoming? Who are they becoming? I said this last week, I'll say it this week, I'll probably say it next week, is every single person in this room is a person who is in process. You will not date, nor will you marry a finished product. But you know what? You are going to want to date someone, and you are going to want to marry someone who is in a process of becoming someone. And what Paul is saying is warning them, don't go, are you becoming more like the kingdom of this world? Arrogant, provoking one another, and envying one another. Let me give you some normal words here. Conceited is just arrogant and self-involved. They are about the kingdom of self. Provoking, that word in the Greek means combative and contentious, meaning that argument and conflict and drama follow them. Look at the relationships that they have. Are they long-lasting, or are they constantly recycling friends because the drama they do things I don't like, so we're gonna move away, we're gonna ghost that friend. Like these things, all right? Then the last one, envying one another. It's that resentful jealousy that social media just feeds your feed. That someone else has something that you want, and then a seed of resentment takes root. Here's what we should become. If Paul's saying, do not become, the kingdom of God, the children who have been adopted into the kingdom, do not become this. The opposite would be then, become humble. Grow in humility. Put others above yourself. That what controls you is the same thing that led Jesus. Philippians chapter 2 says that he humbled himself. He chose. He wasn't forced to be humbled. He chose to humble himself into the form of a servant. The world says, be confident, be conceited, be about you. You be about you. You get yours. That's not the way of Jesus. Jesus says, I have come to serve, not to be served. The opposite of provoking is calm and non-anxious. Instead of being contentious and combative, because what that is that's self-protection. We talked about that last week. Is that love, 1 Corinthians 13, the famous love passage says, love protects. Not self, love protects the one being loved. And so as we evaluate, as we walk into this dating thing and we start, well, what's my list of criteria for myself and for the person that I might be interested in? It's not contentious. It's not combative. It's not full of drama. It's actually peace. A peace that comes from walking by the Spirit. Because what is the fruit of the Spirit? Peace. And so I don't know about you, but I struggle with anxiety. I've got too many people in my life to not. And so it is a struggle. It is an intentional battle to walk with the Spirit so that peace is what reigns my life, not fear, not worry, not control, and not anger. And so when we look at this little list, it's humility, it's calm, non-anxious presence. And then he adds envying at one another at the end. That's that resentful jealousy. The opposite of resentment, jealousy, is joyful celebration. That you can be genuinely excited and happy for someone else when they get what you want? That's an evaluation. Do they have the capacity to celebrate someone else when they get what your heart desires? So when we talk about this idea of a list, I think we got to think about this differently. Instead of preference, we think principle. What is the biblical principle here that we're talking about? Not the preference of my fears, not the preference of my desires, not the preference of my insecurities or my woundedness. What are the principles of God's kingdom? Because the preferences of this world, man, that's where the gravitational pull is. That's what's celebrated in our culture. You get yours and use anybody you need to get that. And then our brothers and sisters in Christ become a commodity to be used, not a person to be cared for, honored, and loved. Guys, dating, the principle is, it's not complicated. Love the way that Christ has loved you. He didn't love you with jealousy. He didn't love you with anxiety. He didn't love you in any other way than a self-giving, humble, servant-hearted love. And so we, as we date, as we think about who to date, instead of just looking at the outside characteristics, let's first walk with the Spirit, asking the Holy Spirit, reveal these things in me. And let's deal with this first before we ever start evaluating anyone else. Let's let the Holy Spirit do some work here. We can't be hypocrites here. We can't ask someone else to do what we are unwilling and haven't done ourselves. Because what is that? That's dishonoring. Because we're requiring someone else to jump through hoops that I'm not willing to jump through. And so this idea of a list of who we should date starts with us. It starts with you. Not the person you're infatuated with, not the person that you're going out with. It's you. It's the Holy Spirit. Would you show me the way? I want to walk with you. So here's what I've done tonight. I want to give you a little tool on the way out before I get to our so whats. We printed out basically a workbook, maybe the best way to say it, to help you work through just what are your core values in dating? Like, what are you actually looking for? My wife does not let me go grocery shopping. You know why? Anybody guess? Because I just buy whatever I'm hungry for. Literally every time. She will not let me go. She's even like, she does it online. She has them delivered. Even if I need to run to the store, she's like, no, I can get it online in like 3 hours. Because she doesn't want her husband shopping hungry, and we should not date desperate. We should not date out of fear. That's like going shopping on an empty stomach. You're gonna pick whatever is there, and you know what's gonna happen? You're gonna regret it. And so what I wanted to do is give you just an actual tool. So inside of here, we've got a couple things, and they're gonna be on the back table and at the doors on your way out. The first one is helping you identify your core values. A whole list of just character qualities, not characteristics, qualities like authenticity, compassion, determination, faith, family, generosity. Like, it's just character qualities. And then the second is identifying which ones are non-negotiables. There's like 15 lines. So you can start with a lot and then you're gonna pare down on the last page. You're gonna take those 15 things and you're gonna split them into three categories. The needs to have, I have to have, this is my non-negotiable. And it really should only be about two or three things. The next one is the nice to haves. Like, if they have that, that'd be fantastic. And then the last one is the fun to have. Like, that's not, like, that's just cherry on top, right? And so I wanted you to pick these up, maybe talk about it at small group, talk about it with a friend, and work through this. Take whatever list you walked in here tonight, put it to the side, and say, God, what do you have to do in me so that then I can evaluate into this dating process what's pleasing to you, not what's chasing my own desires or my flesh. Does that make sense? So pick one of these up tonight. So here's my so what for tonight as we close, is we're gonna turn these questions of who are they walking with, where have they planted themselves, to whom do they belong, and who are they becoming, and we're just gonna turn them back on ourselves. And if you're new to the gathering, we just take 2 minutes at the end of the message before we go back into worship and just give you a minute to actually talk to the Lord. Just you right there in your seat to process, Holy Spirit, what do you want to do in me? So I just put the questions on the screen and just put myself in there. Who am I becoming? Who am I walking with? Where am I planted? So the question is then, Holy Spirit, would you answer these questions for me? Like, I want you to do that as soon as I'm done praying. I want you to pray, Holy Spirit, will you show me who I am walking with or what I'm walking with? Who is influencing you? Who is leading you? What is leading you? Where am I planted, Holy Spirit? What is the fruit of my life? And what does that show me about where I'm planted? To whom do I belong? Does my life look like God's in charge and that I've submitted to him? Or does it look more like I'm calling the shots or my fear is leading me? I belong to my fear. And lastly, who am I becoming? What's the trajectory? If you stay on this path, what is the trajectory? And maybe tonight you might need to say, Lord, I need to change my trajectory. And you need to confess some things and then you need to repent and turn back to him. Because guys, here's the thing about this list. Is this list of character qualities, this list of the fruit of the Spirit, I don't live this out. And so this invitation to repent, a lifestyle of repentance, is the most wonderful news. That God says, when you do chase your flesh, just turn back to Dad. Come on back. Because Galatians is about the gospel of grace, not legalism. That God is waiting for his children to return, and he never gets tired of his children returning to him. It is the enemy that tells us, oh, you can't do that again. He'll be so disappointed in you. That is not the God of the Bible. The God of the Bible says, come back. Walk with me. I will show you the way. Trust me. And so I'm going to leave these up on the screen. Let me pray for us. Give you 2 minutes, and then we'll finish with a little bit more worship. Let's pray. God, thank you for tonight. God, thank you for your word that guides us and leads us in the ways of your kingdom. Holy Spirit, I just come before you asking confidently for you to encounter us tonight, whether it's through worship, whether it's through this message, whether it's through a conversation afterwards. Holy Spirit, would you encounter us in this topic of dating, this topic of relationships, Lord, would not be one of fear, but one of hope that you are with us wherever we go and that your timing is perfect and that your ways are good and that you are not withholding from us. So Holy Spirit, would you form in us a different perspective? Would you free us from the shackles of fear that we might be set free to live with joy and peace in the kingdom of God? We pray these things in your name, amen.